Welcome to Inside Impella, Transport Talks, your co-pilot for training. I'm Shane Turner, and I'm so glad you're here. As members of Abiomed's Critical Care Transport Team, we know that every transport is a lifeline, and every moment counts in our mission to recover hearts and save lives. Today, we have a special episode hosted by Jenna Billick, our esteemed Critical Care Transport Trainer. Jenna sits down with Josh Klute, an expert flight and ICU nurse who credits specialized Impella training with his confidence and success in transport. Josh shares how tailored, hands-on training not only enhanced his skills, but also improved patient care significantly and helped him leave uncertainty behind. Let's talk.
Welcome back to another episode of Inside Impella Transport Talks. My name is Jenna Billig. I am one of the critical care transport trainers, primarily for the West. Whether you've been listening from the start or just tuning in, we've covered a lot of information from program building up to best practices to Impella-specific education. But for this specific episode, let's strap ourselves back into the seat of our ambulance, helicopter, or fixed wing and go on an Impella transport, discussing how transport-specific education can build confidence and empower crews. So with that, we have a special guest, Josh. And I'm going to turn it over to him to introduce himself.
Yeah, my name is Josh Klute. Thank you for having me on here. It's a privilege. So I work as a flight nurse, as well as an ICU nurse in Colorado, where I've had kind of a diverse range of experience starting in EMS and then moving to ICU and kind of bouncing around various ICUs and patient populations until landing a little bit more in the flight nursing world, and still kind of balance a few roles in there, but it's been a fun journey so far.
For sure. So let's talk a little bit more about your background, having worked in the ICU environment. Can you just kind of give some of our listeners a little bit of that differences from the ICU world to the transport world and pull that all together? How do they intermingle? How are they a bit different?
Yeah, I'd say there's a bit of a delineation between the transport world of interfacility and transport of scene calls. And the interfacility world is a little more comfortable for most ICU nurses because it's taking the critical care aspects of, you know, the pumps, the drips, the vents, and putting it in a smaller space. So it's learning more of the context of how you shift those things around and maintain your lines and prevent things from getting pulled or messed with through that transport, as you're well aware of. and for scene calls, which we won't talk too much about, it's a totally different environment where, you know, sometimes you're establishing care and a lot of nurses I work with in that setting, it's a high learning curve of how do you start to stabilize and then get someone to a receiving facility that can continue care.
Yeah. Could you imagine if we were picking up Impella patients as scene calls? That would get pretty rowdy, right?
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Anytime somebody asks like, oh, what do you do? They go, oh, you're training people to put Impellas in like out in the mountains. And I'm like, no. We're not putting Impellas in on the side of a mountain. That's not how this goes.
Maybe someday.
Maybe someday. I mean, who knows? Yeah. There's some pretty cool stuff going on with pre-hospital ECMO and all that. So
yeah.
You never know.
UK is really pushing the limits there.
For sure. Yeah. So what's been your experience with Impellas up to this point between kind of that ICU environment and then the transport world? How has that gone for you throughout your career?
That's a great question. The one ICU that I've never worked in directly is the cardiovascular ICU. And I've floated through there and I've helped at different times and I've seen a couple Impellas, but they haven't been my patients. I wasn't responsible for managing them in any way. It was more just pop in, kind of look at the device. Okay. I guess kind of makes sense. And that was the extent of my experience, until getting hired with this flight company where we had a little bit of an introduction through our training. That was mostly just digital, going through some training modules online, and then talking through with our chief flight nurse about how these things function. And that was kind of the extent. And we were expected to be able to transport these patients, these devices, competently at that point. And I don't know how that compares across the nation, but it's challenging to really feel confident without really getting your hands on and seeing a patient who is being managed upon these devices. So that's a level I was at when I did my first transport this last fall. And it was a somewhat chaotic situation. And it was a surprise. You know, we always get completely accurate information whenever we're dispatched to something, as you know.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. But
50 kilos or 5 kilos. Right. What's the difference, right?
Right. It's the same thing. So this patient, I believe we were told something along the lines of he was intubated and might have had a cardiac arrest at one point, and we're going to be taking him from a smaller facility to Denver, where they receive most of these. And we showed up and went to the ICU where we were supposed to go. And they ushered us quickly into the cath lab and said, "Oh yeah, your patient's on an Impella." So there was no prep time. And, you know, one of the things I like to do is, whatever information I have, is to read ahead, go through our protocols mm-hmm. while we're on the way, and just make sure I get my mind in the right spot. And I'll make a little checklist sometimes of things I need to hit just to refresh, especially when I haven't done something before or, you know, haven't done in a while. So I had no opportunity to do that. And there was kind of a rush because they didn't want to send this patient back to the ICU. And I haven't been a flight nurse for too long, going on about a year and a half at this point. And I didn't take the time to say, "Hold on, we need to gather ourselves. We need to make sure we're going through our protocols, and we need to review our Impella transport information."
It's like that big timeout there. Like, let me get oriented with the mm-hmm. big surprise that you just threw at me. You know, the giant elephant in the room over there, the AIC.
Yeah. Yeah. As the whole team is wanting to move directly from the cath lab to the helicopter. And there was just a lot of pieces floating about that we need to mm-hmm. gather and figure out. So at that point, my partner and I were both a bit overwhelmed, and we're trying to take things one step at a time and prepping our pumps to transfer everything. And this patient was intubated, and there was a perfusionist there, I believe, who was assisting with the Impella, and kind of gave us the down and dirty of what happens if things go wrong and how to prevent that. And it was clicking a little bit, refreshing my memory of the previous training I'd had. But still, my confidence in that was not really high. And I'm thankful that I had a good partner with me, because we were able to make it work. But the things that I just had no idea about at that point, related to transport in particular, were things like, how long is the battery going to last? Yeah. How long?
Unfortunately, not good, right?
Right, right. Yeah. How much does the device weigh? Because our pilot's trying to figure out our weights, and we just kind of had to give him a rough estimate.
Like, let me lift this up and kind of take a guess as to what it feels like.
Yeah. And then just how to be careful with movement and make sure everything's strapped down. You know, things like checking pulses. I was roughly running through a lot of these things, and ultimately the transport went well, but our stress levels for that flight were a lot higher than they needed to be. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't the greatest first experience. But shortly thereafter, I had a transport training with you, which was fantastic, by the way.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about the transport training, and how did you feel it was very tailored to what flight clinicians needed? Did it answer a lot of those questions that you had when you went through that first transport and were like, "Hey, there's all these things in the back of my mind that I'm just not sure on right now. And now I have this live patient right in front of me. I can't take the time to play or really get hands-on, because now it's, you know, all hands on deck. We're doing the job.
Your training was fantastic. And especially because it was so fresh. The experience was so fresh for me. I think it was a week before I had transported this patient. And then all of a sudden we have your training, which come to find out was not because of us, but it was just very convenient.
It was not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well-timed. Mm-hmm. And having your transport experience overlapping with the management of the device was so helpful of, yeah, this is how much it weighs. This is how long the battery is going to last. This is what to do if you're in a crisis, and you know how to actually like get hands on with the device and manage your P value. And, you know, what is a purge cassette? what happens if you rip that line? Like all the different, just quick troubleshooting tips of this is how it functions. And this is what you need to know in order to keep it functioning well. This is what to do if the patient's in crisis. And that was just so, so helpful.
Yeah, people, I was just finishing up some trainings this past week. And one of the biggest things they said to me, and this was a group of very, very experienced flight nurses and paramedics. But they said, they went, I've been a little scared to transport these because I've only ever had, you know, online modules and kind of pictures of it. I've never been able to really get my hands on the device. So I think that's a crucial component to this training is, yes, online modules are a great way to start your experience, but you have to continue your experience with that hands-on and didactic informational training. And that's what seems to really make the difference, is allowing people to play and have that before they're sitting there with a patient going, well, is the TUI all the way tight? You know, is the machine actually plugged in? Am I getting that alarm on the front that says AC power disconnected? And I think it's, you know, in the ICU, I'll admit, I never really thought too much about the battery life of this when I worked in the ICU. Yeah. I was like, hey, it's plugged into the wall. Sounds great. And then, oh, if we take the patient down to CT scan, well, I'll just plug it in down there too. Sounds good, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get into the transport world and you're like, oh, 60 minutes if fully charged. And then you're like, I walk in the room and go, hopefully they've had it plugged into the wall that someone didn't forget to plug it back in when they came back from CT scan in the ICU before we picked them up. Like every time I say 60 minutes, everyone's eyes go, woo. Scary. Like,
yeah.
But so it's the little things to think about to make sure you're doing what's best for not just your safety as a provider, but safety of the patient that's tied to that machine as well. You start packaging up that patient, weaving through a hospital and elevator. I know there's one facility in particular in Colorado where you got to get in an ambulance and then you got to drive, you know, a whopping minute and a half to the helipad. And then you got to do the whole process again. So you can start to weed into that battery life pretty quick.
Yeah. And hopefully your inverter in the helicopter is functioning properly.
That's always a good question to ask there, you know, double check that before you're going on the Impella call. But yeah. You got to hope for that one there too. So you went through the transport training that was specific to flight nurses, paramedics, ground critical care transport teams, and felt that this was really making a difference in the care that you provided. And it was kind of funny. You came up to me later and said, hey, you know, I did this Impella call right before the training. And then I got an Impella call right after the training. Like our perfect little randomized control trial here. So talk me through kind of how you felt and the prepping, the thought process, the emotions going into now your second Impella call post having that critical care transport training.
Yeah. Well, when our dispatch came through, I was excited. I was like, yes, I get the chance to redeem myself through like bumbling and the mess of the first one. I was excited to practice all the things I just learned. And my partner and I got to approach it systematically And thankfully, you know, we were warned ahead of time, so I was able to go through the protocols, which always helps, and refresh myself again. And then the patient was in the ICU, stable, not even intubated, actually, which was really cool that we can do that with this device. Was a left axillary placement, and he was conversive, excited to transport, excited to fly, just a great patient overall who had been struggling with essentially a lower cardiac output over the past few months that continued to get worse, and rhythm changes. He kept getting zapped by his AICD, and yeah, just a steady decline of his cardiac function. So perfect patient for the Impella, I feel like. We got to walk through and to make sure all our lines were in the right place, make sure it was secured, measure urine output, and check pulses. And just, you know, what I really loved as part of your training was the walkthrough of this is what a site should look like, an insertion site, and this is what it shouldn't look like. And taking that to the example of really taking a closer eye of the insertion site and what it should be like was really helpful. And then documenting every step of the way, including even making sure there was an echo done for placement verification.
Definitely made a difference. And then at the same time, I mean, let's just be real. In this world, we like to walk in, and even if we're screaming inside with a situation, we like to walk in and be kind of that calm within the storm, the calm within the chaos. Take that just controlled calmness of the room and come in, do our job, and really look like we know what we're doing. Even if we're like, oh, you know, I haven't transported this before. You come in, you exude that confidence, and you really fall back on the level of your training. So having this training, did you feel like you were able to go in there and exude that confidence and show this facility, kind of gain that trust in the sending nurses or the sending physician that, you know, hey, we are this critical care transport crew and we know how to take care of these patients and we know what we're doing and we're going to do this to the best of our ability and safely and get this patient where they need to go?
100%. Yeah, I had so much more confidence in that. And I was enjoying the process. I mean, this is what I know I love to do, and I think a lot of us love to do in this job is be competent providers caring for patients well, because of the training that we've been given. And, you know, starting off, it's hard to have extensive training on every possible transport that we could do. And we, in our organization, we don't tend to do a vast amount of these, which I know is part of a culture thing, and hopefully that changes more. I really enjoy these devices now. But it's just taking those steps along the way to jump into trainings when they're available and people become more comfortable with any kind of possible patient we might see.
Yeah, I know my first Impella transport, I cared for them in the ICU, have that CVICU background, MCS background, but you know, the first one I ended up doing in a helicopter environment, and granted, you get it with Colorado. We're in small aircraft. We're in little tiny A-stars mm-hmm. around these parts. So it's it makes an added challenge to it. I always make the joke to people that, you know, nothing ever gets any better in an A-star. So you got to kind of do it right the first time. Yeah. And the first one I went on, you know, I had a very experienced flight medic partner. I'm bright-eyed, bushy-tailed at 2 o'clock in the morning, new flight nurse. And we ended up pulling our heads together. And his response was, hey, I really know transport. And I was like, well, I know MCS devices. So we went on this transport. It was an hour flight. And we pick up this patient. You know, I'm thinking to myself that all things are going well. And I mean, what did I do? Even after all that time in the ICU, I got that patient into the aircraft. I forgot to plug it in. Let's be honest about what happens in the world. You know, I had my little ICU brain over to the left and my little transport brain over to the right. And, you know, in transport, keeping those things plugged in is just such a crucial aspect mm-hmm. that, you know, we think about in the ICU, but it We're like, yeah, of course. It's all plugged in. It's all plugged in until it beeps at us low battery, right? So we ended up noticing, we plugged it in, everything turned out to be fine. But it is interesting to see, you know, even someone with experience in these devices, I could walk in there and I could miss that crucial component on my first Impella transport. And before that, yeah, I mean, it was really just modules, and I had a short in-person course. And, you know, in the transport world, there's budget constraints and everything else. So sometimes it's hard to bring in those other resources, or that, you know, go shadow in the ICU to get more experience. And that's something I love about this team that I'm on, is that we come in, this is a no charge thing. Like, let's build your confidence. Let's empower these crews to walk in there. And as you said, like, you were excited this time to take this transport, instead of going, oh no, what did I walk into? This is terrifying. I need a moment. I hope I do it right. Cross my fingers. Now you're turning this and going, I'm confident and I'm excited. And you just said, you're like, I want to do more of these transports. I'm starting to like this MCS stuff. And yeah. I'm like, yes, that's my goal.
it's so amazing what technology can do to care for people these days. And I mean, Impella is a great example of devices that they solve a lot of problems, and they can bridge people over that critical phase of illness. They can be fine if you manage that critical phase.
Yeah.
They can turn out just fine.
We can lower all that chemical warfare on their body, lower those inotropes, lower those vasopressors, allow that heart to actually take that moment to rest. I know you're a mountain biker. Yeah. I always make the joke. I'm like, so, you know, I come home from this training and what do I want to do? First thing when I get home, I want to jump on my mountain bike, go for a ride. So I go for a ride, and then what happens? I do something silly. I fall, I pull a muscle in my leg, and what should I do? I mean, of course, what are we going to do? We're going to get back on the bike and ride again. But maybe that's not the most appropriate thing. We should rest that muscle. We should allow that muscle time to rest, to recover, to heal. And then anytime our heart gets sick for whatever the insult to injury may be, what do? We go, hey, you're another muscle in our body, but you're a very, very important one at that, because if you stop, well, we die. And we force it. We throw all these drips on, we throw these inotropes on, and we say, hey, you're going to squeeze, you're going to beat harder, you're going to demand more oxygen, and you're going to try to meet the needs of the body. So then, you know, those are the patients we pick up, and dispatch says they're on 4 drips, and then we show up and they're on 8 drips, and you're like, now what am I doing? It seems the common consensus is that most people have either 6 pumps, 6 channels, whatever it is. So now you got that 8, and you go, well, all right, I got to weed through these, right? But we're fine with that. You know, we walk in as transport crews and we go, okay, that's fine. Like, this will just take a second till I switch all these drips over, but all's good. When if that patient had this cardiac device in place, maybe those drips would be lower doses, or some of them would be off of the patient. And at that point in time, now all we have to do is move this little Impella pump. That's where the terrifying thing comes in. You know, we're not scared of the 8 drips, but we're terrified of the Impella device. And
yeah.
What was your, I'm not a very emotional person, but to talk emotions for a second, like, if you could put it into 1 or 2 emotions, your first transport prior to the transport training, what would you label those 2 emotions as?
Ooh, I would say, yeah, I was really apprehensive up front, but just had to go with it. I mean, there was no choice in that case. This patient needed to be moved to a higher level of care. And I suppose there's always a choice, but we were capable. I knew that we were capable of taking this patient. You know, a lot of us have somewhat similar personalities in this field, and it's really easy to be self-critical, and just beat yourself up over not knowing enough or not doing a good enough job. And that's probably what hit me the most through the transport and afterward, especially as I was trying to document everything properly. It's just, wow, I'm not prepared enough. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And you know, am I even a good flight nurse? Like, can I do this job? And those things that hits all of us when we have very high standards of wanting to do an incredibly good job. I mean, we're all pretty driven to be at the top of our field and in this kind of work. And when it doesn't come through that way, or, you know, maybe the outside world sees it as, oh, everything was great. You guys did a great job. Mm-hmm. But internally, you know, that I'm like panicking this whole time, this whole call of what happens if something goes wrong. So just having trainings like the one you provided, they help boost the capability and the confidence to where I can be excited again to take patients like this.
It's almost starting out. It's like when you get into this world, you don't know what you don't know until you come across it.
Yeah.
And then you go, uh-oh, wow. I had no idea what I was doing on that call. And as I said, you know, how many times I would like look at my partner and go, I look very calm on the outside, but I am screaming on the inside right now. Yeah. And then so you did that first call last fall, went through the training with our critical care transport training team, got lucky enough to be the person who then immediately had another Impella call after that, which is what everyone says in this training. They're like, now I need that Impella call to put it to good use. But then in March, just to kind of put a little caveat on this, we were holding an ICE, an Impella Clinical Expert course for transport providers in Denver. And our team is, at the moment, as this stands, this recording in June, we're currently revamping that course. So more to come on that. But we gave a little bit more in-depth information during that about cardiogenic shock and Impella devices. How did that follow-up, you know, it would have been, what, almost 5 months, 6 months or so after the first course. How did that follow-up help you?
I feel like anytime I learn something, I immediately start forgetting it until it's reiterated again, and then I will store a little bit more in the deeper memory. So that's why constant training and continuing education is really helpful. So that experience in the ICE course was really fun. It was great to go through it again and have that reiteration of the training. And I feel like the information just sank a lot deeper to the point where I haven't had an Impella transport since then. And it's been quite a few months. But I still feel like my baseline comfort is a lot higher than it's ever been, to the point where if I got one tomorrow, I would still be excited to take it on.
That's great to hear. If you had to determine, like if you, no resource constraints, no nothing, got to say how many times a team would take this education or some form of this Impella critical care transport education a year, would you say like once a year refresher is a good spot to be at? Do you think it should be bi-yearly? Like, where's your viewpoint on solidifying that information?
I think, you know, there could be varying types of training. If every couple of years there's a very thorough training that really gets hands-on practice, that could be really beneficial. But having an annual check-in, maybe even a couple hours of just, here's the device. What are your questions? What are your experiences? Or for those who've never had a chance to touch this, here it is. Get your hands on, change some settings, you know, get comfortable with what that might look like and what the waveforms might be, you know, with different displacements or whatever is needed for them to feel more comfortable with the device. Mm-hmm. That could be helpful annually.
And empower those crews to really get out there, have that comfort, you know, at that year mark when things maybe start slipping out of our brains a bit because we haven't seen one in the transport world for a second, then we can get just a nice good refresher on it at that point. Or the new hires that we brought in the last year can kind of go through a class and get that confidence so they can go out there and do the call as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Josh, I really appreciate you coming on today and being so candid with both of the Impella calls that you went on and just how this felt, your emotions, everything that went through that process. And is there anything else you want to say to any of our listeners?
Yeah, I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be here. And it's been really fun to be part of not one, but two trainings with you. hopefully there'll be more in the future. I'm really excited for the effect that this device has on patient care, and what is hopefully coming in the future with maybe updates on better battery life and maybe smaller devices. That'd be really cool.
Things kind of in the background in the works there. So we can, as transport providers, we can continue to recover hearts and save lives, but more importantly, outside those four hospital walls, right? Be a part of that patient story and that continuum instead of just being a, hey, I'm going to pick this up and I'm going to put this down. But now I'm going to pick it up confidently with a methodical process, move that patient, engage with that patient, intervene with the machine if needed, and then take them to where they need to go.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. And you fly safe out there.
Thanks for listening to Inside Impella Transport Talks. We're here to support you in recovering hearts and saving lives. For more Impella transport information, visit us at heartrecovery.com/transport. And if you like our podcast, please head to your favorite podcast platform to subscribe and give it a 5-star rating. This podcast is sponsored by Abiomed. The information, findings, and conclusions expressed are those reached independently by the authors.